Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a close look at the Euro Paddle Pass, or EPP. It's essentially a European framework for paddle sports competency. You can actually check it out yourself at europaddlepass.eu.
That's right. And what we really want to unpack in this deep dive is, well, why would a National Federation for Paddle Sports see real value in working with the EPP?
Yeah.
What are the, you know, strongest arguments for them to actually consider this kind of collaboration?
Exactly. It's not just about having, like, another set of rules, is it? Mm-hmm. The EPP has some pretty big goals. For instance, it's trying to raise awareness of just how educational and, well, good for communities paddle sport can be. Plus, it's aiming to make it easier for everyone to get involved through qualifications that are, you know, recognized more widely.
Right. And one way it does this is by providing some fundamental guidelines for anyone who paddles, really. These are the sorts of things that, you know, as someone getting into paddling or even continuing with it, you'd find really useful.
Like what kind of things? Can you give us some examples?
Well, the EPP really encourages paddling with others. That's a big one. And it stresses knowing what you're capable of, your limits, and not going beyond them.
Okay.
It also highlights being really aware of potential dangers, you know, hazards in the environment where you're paddling, and making sure the gear you're using is actually appropriate for your skill level, for the conditions, that kind of thing.
That all sounds like pretty solid common sense for staying safe on the water.
Absolutely. And it goes further, you know, stressing the need to respect the natural environment, which is crucial. Also, being informed about local conditions, the weather forecast, understanding good practice guidelines and access agreements for waterways, mm-hmm. and even things like fair play if you're involved in competition. It's quite a thorough overview, really, of being a responsible paddler.
It does sound comprehensive. But the EPP isn't just a single rigid approach, is it? I understand there are different levels within the framework.
Exactly right. There are five levels. It starts with beginner, which is, you know, learning the absolute fundamentals. Then it moves all the way through to expert. And that's for someone who is not just a highly experienced paddler, but also, importantly, capable of leading others.
Okay. So if you're moving through these levels, where would you see the development? What are the key areas?
Well, across those five levels, you'd see growth in several key areas. Your decision-making ability, for instance, would become more independent. And at the higher levels, you'd be making decisions that affect the safety of a whole group, not just yourself.
Right.
Your technical skills would progress from just basic control to, you know, efficient and effective maneuvering. Your tactical awareness evolves, too, from just noticing conditions to actively adapting and, well, using them to your advantage.
So as a beginner, maybe you're just focused on not falling in, whereas an expert is really reading the water, using the flow,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing.
Precisely. And then there's safety. Personal safety moves from basic awareness to independently applying that knowledge. Group safety shifts from just understanding your role to actually setting up a safe environment for everyone.
Hmm.
Your equipment knowledge deepens. Environmental awareness grows from just don't damage things to actively educating others. And your understanding of rules progresses from basic awareness to being able to explain and apply them.
That paints a really clear picture of the progression. Now, if a national federation is thinking about adopting this, how does the EPP make sure paddlers are actually meeting these standards?
Assessment.
Right. Yes, the assessment guidelines are key. The EPP requires assessments to be done by certified assessors from the National Federation. These assessors need to be qualified at or above the level they're assessing, and they must have specific training in the EPP's methods.
So it's not just down to any instructor deciding who passes. There's a structured system for expertise. Exactly. And the EPP stresses that assessments need to be safe and fair. And crucially, anyone being assessed should clearly understand the requirements, the safety standards, technical skills, all the criteria for that discipline and level.
Okay, let's really dig into the why for a national federation.
Yeah.
What's the number one reason, you think, for them to work with the EPP?
I think the most compelling starting point is probably the standardization and recognition it offers. It provides a consistent benchmark for paddle sport skills that works right across Europe.
Okay, so if a national federation aligns its standards with the EPP, what does that mean practically? For them or for the paddlers?
Well, it allows them to bring their own national technical standards into line with a widely respected European standard. When they issue certificates, they can display the EPP logo and a statement saying it complies with the EPP framework. That immediately boosts the credibility of their national qualifications.
Oh, right.
And for you as a paddler holding that certificate, it could potentially make it easier to have your skills recognized elsewhere in Europe.
That makes a lot of sense. So if you have a national cert aligned with EPP, it might smooth things over if you want to take a course or join an event in another country, like a more universal paddling passport.
Precisely. And the EPP even provides what they call a map to framework. It's not a literal map, but a set of key concepts like preparation, planning, observation, feedback, action planning, even the paperwork side. It gives a national federation a structured approach they can use when developing or reviewing their own standards, helping ensure they're comprehensive and aligned with EPP principles. It's sort of a guide to good educational practice.
So it's not just taking on someone else's system. It's also a tool for improving their own national setup. Okay, what's another big plus for a federation?
Another really important area is instructor and assessor education. The EBP framework clearly highlights the need for a well-defined system of instructor-coach education and, just as importantly, a system of assessor education.
And why are those systems so crucial?
Because, you know, the quality of any program really depends on the instructors and assessors. By adopting the EPP framework, a federation can tap into shared best practices for training these key people. They might even get to contribute their own expertise back into that European standard.
Right.
For someone looking to become an instructor, this could mean better training and more widely recognized qualifications down the line.
So it encourages collaboration, raising the bar for teaching and assessment across Europe?
Exactly. And the EPP guidelines themselves suggest that instructors' assessors should hold a higher qualification than what they're teaching or assessing. They also stress specific training and formal approval from the National Federation. It's all about ensuring competence and quality.
That sounds like a good way to build trust in the qualifications.
Yeah.
Now, how does the EPP help federations ensure these standards are applied consistently within their own country?
That brings us to quality assurance and consistency. The EPP includes the principle of having a system to ensure consistency quality assurance. Now, the document mentions Stockholm time. Place, which seems a bit random.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's likely just an internal note, but the underlying principle is about having agreed reference points and procedures. So a level 3 assessment in, say, northern Sweden should be comparable to one in southern Sweden.
Okay, so the specific reference isn't the point. It's the idea of ensuring a level means the same thing wherever you achieve it within that national system.
Precisely. By following the EPP framework, a national federation gets a benchmark for quality in its own programs. It provides a structure and a way to show they're meeting recognized European standards. This gives paddlers and others confidence in the qualifications.
That seems vital for credibility. Now, the outline also mentioned paddler registration. Is that mandatory or more of a suggestion?
It's not strictly mandatory, no, but it is strongly recommended by the EPP. They suggest federations track the number of certificates issued and especially record details for paddlers at level 3 and above.
Why do they see that as valuable? What are the benefits?
Several things, really. Firstly, safety in some situations, knowing who's qualified could be important. Secondly, communication. It creates a link between the federation and certified paddlers for updates, events, safety info. And thirdly, data. It helps the federation understand participation levels, demographics, which is useful for planning the sport's future development. For the paddler, it might mean easier access to higher courses or just recognition.
So it helps the federation stay connected and make informed decisions. And the EPP lets each federation decide how to do this registration.
Exactly. They recognize countries have different systems, different resources, so the method is up to the national federation. That flexibility is important, allowing them to fit it into their own context.
That flexibility seems key. Okay, what's the next strong argument for a federation joining up?
The EPP also offers a potentially streamlined approval process for national standards that align with its framework. They have a formal way to acknowledge that a national standard is consistent with the EPP guidelines.
So if a federation already has good standards, this is a path to get European recognition for them more easily.
Exactly. For federations that were members back in 2024, there's even a conditional recommendation for immediate use of the Level 3 standard. New countries apply to get this acknowledgement. It can save a lot of legwork compared to going it alone internationally.
What about the higher levels, 4 and 5? Is that different?
Yes. For Level 4 and 5 endorsements, it requires a unanimous vote at the EPP core group meeting. This really highlights the collaborative approach at the top end, ensuring everyone agrees on what these advanced standards mean. It strengthens their value.
That sounds like it builds a lot of mutual trust between federations.
It does. And looking forward, any future proposals for national standards, including assessment and coaching systems, especially if they differ from the EPP norms, need to be presented in English for approval. This transparency ensures everyone can understand and contribute.
Makes sense. Clear communication is vital. Now, paddling covers so many different types of boats and water. Does the EPP allow flexibility in assessment methods?
Absolutely. The EPP fully gets that assessment formats, timescales, and styles will vary hugely. Assessing whitewater kayaking is obviously different from assessing calm water canoeing.
But there must be some core requirements.
Yes. For levels 3, 4, and 5, there needs to be a formal assessment aligned with the acknowledged national award scheme for that level. So, it balances European guidelines with national specifics. The assessment you take should be relevant to your paddling, but still meet that broader benchmark.
So a federation isn't locked into a rigid model that doesn't fit their local paddling scene?
Not at all. The EPP provides minimum standards for national guidelines, general principles, suggested safety ratios. And importantly, they insist assessors must give feedback to participants, pass or fail. That focus on feedback is huge for learning.
That feedback part sounds incredibly valuable for paddlers trying to improve. What about the community aspect? Does being part of EPP offer membership and collaboration opportunities?
Definitely. The document lists current members: France, Ireland, GB, Slovenia, Sweden, Denmark, Italy, Norway, Germany, Finland, Switzerland. It's a significant group. Being part of this network offers chances to share knowledge, best practices, maybe even resources.
That's a pretty impressive list of paddling nations.
It is. And they even have different membership levels: core group, sleeping partner, associated member. This suggests various ways to engage, depending on a federation's resources and how involved they want to be initially.
So different levels of commitment are possible.
Yeah.
And presumably the EPP allows for review and evolution of standards. It's not set in stone.
Exactly. The framework allows for an annual review. Member federations can submit proposals for review, needing to do so a month before the first meeting each year. This commitment to regular review keeps the framework relevant and up to date. It's designed to adapt.
So it's a living system. That's good. And finally, what about these pilot projects?
Yes. The EPP actively encourages federations to run pilot projects of future national standards before seeking formal approval. It's a practical, evidence-based approach. Run a pilot, get feedback, refine it, then present it. It reduces risk and helps ensure new standards actually work well.
That sounds very sensible. Okay, so wrapping up our deep dive, what are the absolute key takeaways? Why should a national federation seriously consider the EPP?
Well, to summarize, it offers a really strong package. You get standardization leading to potential international recognition. You get frameworks for instructor and assessor education, boosting quality. It promotes quality assurance, building trust. It encourages useful paddler registration.
Right.
There's a potentially streamlined approval process for national standards, plus crucial flexibility in assessment. And importantly, you gain access to a collaborative European network and a system committed to review and evolution, including through pilot projects. It's a lot of potential upside.
It really does sound like aligning with the EPP could provide a robust foundation for national paddle sport development, but still allow for that necessary local customization.
Exactly. It's about using a recognized structure to boost credibility, quality, and international standing, ultimately benefiting the paddlers themselves.
So for anyone listening who's involved with their national federation, if they aren't currently EPP members, it might be worth suggesting they take a closer look. Again, the website is europaddlepass.eu. Seems like a valuable conversation to have.
Absolutely. It can have real positive impacts.
And on that note, here's something to think about. How might a unified European framework like the EPP, by creating common standards and encouraging collaboration, really contribute to the overall growth, safety, and just plain enjoyment of paddle sports across the continent? Something to mull over.
Indeed. A good question.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the Euro Paddle Pass. Until next time, happy paddling.